Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, you've shared with me some of the new attempts you've made related to reaching out to those who regularly do not attend church. I found those reports extremely interesting. Would you mind sharing that information with our Sermon Coach pastors?
I'm trying to think, Dean, how all this started. I'm in a group of three, and the three of us meet together for prayer. One of them is my pastor. Another one is a layperson who's just a friend in another church. But probably through his influence as much as anything, we said, we have been in church so long, we have almost forgotten how people who aren't in church normally talk or act. And we need to feel our way back to that some. So we decided that we would invite non-church people to a time where they could say anything they wanted about church or whatever, and they could talk about God in such a way that we could just get a feel for where they were coming from. So that kind of was our original conversation. And then we said, okay, let's make a list of people who are non-church who we would invite. And the other guys' lists were longer than mine. They weren't originally, but as we talked, they said, no, it should just be men, no women allowed. And that cut out a lot of the people on my list because I've developed good friendly relations with people at the bank, at the laundry, at the gas station, and so on. And I realized that I had three names of men on the list and probably eight or nine names of women on the list. And then we had a long conversation. Should it be just men or should it be both? And they outvoted me 2-1. And so we just invited men. Now, that was our process. We started praying and then we shared our lists with one another. And we ended up with probably 15, maybe 20 people all told who we would say we would invite. And we chose a Tuesday night. And we would meet from 7:30 till 9, and we would explain to them that we feel like we're so involved in church things that we've lost our ability to even understand what non-church people are thinking. And so if you would come and just help us work our way through that, that would be a favor you could do for us. That was our approach to it, and it was upfront. There was nothing subtle about it or tricky about it. That's all we wanted. And we weren't going to ask them for more than one meeting. We just say one meeting. Well, we eventually started asking and we had eight people who said they would come. And by golly, all of them showed up. We had it was at the home of my friend. It was in his living room. We had coffee and his wife had fixed some really phenomenal cookies. And each one of us had decided that we would take a specific role. One role would be to do kind of the icebreaker and get them to talk because they were coming from three different groups and so they didn't know each other. And even the people on one given man's list, maybe they didn't know each other either. So they were all somewhat strangers to one another, although some were friends. Another person would be the one who would say, okay, what we would like for you to talk about is if you could ask God one question, what would you ask him? And the other role would be to be the timekeeper to make sure we started at 7:30 and 7:30 and stopped at 9 o'clock. And I happened to be the timekeeper because they said, you know, television, radio, and you got a stopwatch in your head. And I said, well, I watch my watch. But at 2:05, I was to tie things up and say, we thank you. Would you like to do it again? If not, fine. You've done us a great favor. So anyway, we were all very nervous. And the fellas came, they started interacting probably 5-6 minutes early. And then about 2:05, I said, I'm the timekeeper, and I'm going to make sure that we start on time and end on time. It's now 5 minutes past our starting time. Let's all gather in the circle here, and I will tell you when it's 5 minutes till 9. And now, Jeff, you take over. And he had the icebreaker. And so he said, because most of us don't know each other. We would like to just go around the room and have you say what you do in terms of your work, what you like about it, what you don't like about it. And then after we've felt like we know each other at least a little bit, then we're going to go to another question, which Crilly will take over on. So anyway, we went around the room, and we also made it clear, the three of us, that we were not there to answer questions, but we were there to just explore how other people thought, unlike the way we thought. And so anyway, it was kind of nervous and edgy, and people were edgy, but they all went around, said what they did. We were included in that, so there were 11 people total. And then Crilly said, what I would like to do is to have you say, if I could ask God one question that I would like him to answer to my satisfaction, this would be the question. So anyway, they all started talking, and before you knew it, the time was gone. And they talked very openly, you know, how come there's so much evil in the world, God? I don't understand that. And one guy said, I wish God, you know, this, we only have one go at this. I wish you would make more plain what it is you expect of us. I'm not that smart, you know. So if you would make your will known in much more obvious ways than I think you have, that would be a good thing for me. But it was a very good discussion. There were times when they asked us to comment, are we doing what you want? And I remember saying, you know, I realize that I think very differently than you think, and that's helpful to me. Like, I don't think, how come there's so much evil in the world? Because I'm around Christian people. I see them doing wonderful things. I've traveled to many different countries, and I think, how do I account for all the good that's in the world? And because I see good everywhere I go, and I see, why are these people, they're changed, they're so wonderful. So it's just a different perspective. And they'd say, oh, that's interesting. You know, I never thought that way. And so it was a phenomenal conversation. When it was all done at 2:05, I said, it's 2:05, and I'm supposed to be the timekeeper because we feel it's important that you get out. And so we just have a few minutes to wrap up. And then one guy, because I was supposed to say, would you like to do it again? And one guy immediately said, this was fun. He said, and if you ever go to church, and I haven't that much, but you can't stick your head up and say, I got a question. You just have to sit there and listen. Here we get to talk. I kind of like that. I'd like to do it again. So I didn't even have to say, would you like to meet again? You know, because, and then he said to the other people, would any of you guys like to meet? And they all agreed. They wanted to meet again. So that solved my problem. And then at 9:00, we ended, except one guy said, I have one more thing I'd like to say. He said, I like the coffee and I like the cookies, but could I bring beer next time? Because I would feel more comfortable with beer. And we all said, sure, you can bring whatever you want, you know. And so it was a wonderful night. And they all dispersed and went away. And the three of us stood there. He said, this was unbelievable. You know, it's just so invigorating. In fact, my pastor said, and he's a really neat guy, he said, this has been one of the most wonderful nights I've ever had for a long, long time, you know. And so there was all this sense of excitement because these men were our friends. We hadn't tried to preach at them in any way, so we were very anxious to see what would happen the second time. But I learned a lot of lessons, and I was not only the timekeeper, I was the note taker. And I was writing down comments people made, and we said, we will send you the comments so we can follow up for the next time. And we decided the next time we would meet, which was a month later, that's what the group decided real fast, that we would pursue one of the questions the one man had taken up. But why don't you make your will more obvious? How come we have to try to figure all this out? We're not that smart. Why don't you just say, Shazam, you know, this is what I want. And so that would be the second thing we talked about. So we met the second time. That was 2 months ago. And came back, and they discussed that. And that was a wonderful discussion. The guy did bring his beer. That was neat. And they felt far more comfortable. They knew each other. They were interacting more. We were just kind of laying back and listening to them. And it's very fascinating because for non-church people, in fact, a couple of them said, we're not non-church people. We go at Christmas and we go at Easter, you know, but they were non-church in our minds, and they were kind of offended that we would think of them as non-church. And, you know, one guy said, I'm not a pagan. And but it was just, it was very, very interesting as we would talk around the group. Then the worst part was, Dean, that I went to Africa the next month, and I said I would be away, and I said, maybe we should meet more often because I won't see you for another 2 months then. But they decided, no, they would keep it on a monthly basis. And one of the fellas came up to me afterward. He said, you going to Africa, huh? He said, here's $20. Give it to somebody who needs it, which was really, really very beautiful, I thought, that he wanted to have a part of what was going on. So we will meet again in 2 weeks. No, we'll meet again next week. because I've just come back and I'm going to pray with the other two guys on Saturday morning. Then we meet on Tuesday. And so we'll see. They'll come back. They have an agenda. I'll be the timekeeper again because one of the fellas said I was assigned timekeeper and it was 10 minutes after 9. Nobody noticed it. I said, oh, we need the old guy here. That's me. Because he makes a stop at 9 o'clock. It's already 10 after 9. So it just, it was funny. It's very natural. But at the same time, I'm realizing again that I don't understand their world nearly as much as I could. I'm understanding they have tensions. They're frustrated living without the same sense of, you know, great peace and satisfaction that I have. They're bothered by when people act in ways that aren't Christian. They're bothered by inconsistencies in the church. Some of them are in marriages that are difficult because their spouses don't even have the same spiritual longing that they have. So when they say they'd like to go to church sometime just to visit, they know that the wife is not going to do that. So it's just, I'm finding this is incredibly interesting to me. And I feel very fortunate to have them such that they want to come. And getting them to talk has been no problem. And I think one of the reasons they're talking is because we're listening instead of talking. So anyway, that's what's happening. It's been fascinating to me.
Well, that's quite amazing. Do you see these experiences affecting your future preaching?
I think that I will deal with questions that are far more basic. And I guess probably, Dean, as much as anything, I'm so grateful to the Lord for answering so many of these things in my life. And it's not that they don't want the answers. It's just they were raised in a different setting. You know, my heart goes out to them. My great longing is that over a period of time, you know, we'll see them one after another say, you got something I don't have. How did you get that? And I think that'll come up in the group and I'll say, well, would the rest of you like to know what I found? And if not, I'll just talk to Pete privately. But my guess is that, yeah, tell us, you know. So, but they're in a setting that is not, it's not that they've come and they hear a canned presentation, which is what they would call a sermon. They're much more open to, they use profanity. They've not said off-color things. And they're not bad people. In fact, most of them have a very clear understanding of right and wrong. You know, it's not been, they just not had opportunity to talk about it in my mind. So.
Wonderful opportunity.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's just fabulous. Scared the daylights out of us when they first came wondering what it would be like. And now it's just one of the things we look forward to very, very much.
Well, praise God for that. Well, we hope you've enjoyed our conversation this time, and maybe your mind has been motivated a little bit to think about ways that you might interact with non-church people, because meaningful conversations with non-church people enable ministers to better understand how those people think. We're grateful for your presence today with us. We invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next sermoncoach.com podcast.